You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. And now, here's Drew and his trusty sidekick, Woodrow, but don't have a paddle.
It's a moment many of you have been waiting for. He's back like a bad rash for his 17th time on the Drew Marshall Show, Mr. Ted DiBiase. You know him as wrestling's Million Dollar Man. Ted, what's going on, big guy?
How you doing, Drew? Good to be with you again.
When...
17 times, really? Are you serious?
You remember, I think the last time you and I did a little something together, you were on a little television show that I did, and I remember vividly, actually, the fact that you... I didn't realize this, Ted, but you actually walk around your house with your WWE whatever buckle belt on your shoulder all the time. Why do you do that?
Stop it. Stop it.
Jeez.
It's terrible.
And then I said something behind you, which they edited out afterwards, which is, just shows you the patheticness of things on that show, that you had a big dollar sign and a cross behind you. And they were kind of near each other. And I said, look at that. You've got a dollar sign and a cross. Do you go to Benny Hinn's church?
Oh, my gosh. You're terrible. What am I going to do with you, man?
You are a scary individual. Like, I'm a big dude, right? I'm 6'4", 240. But you scare me.
Why?
Because you're massive, man. You're guns. I mean...
Oh, just... yeah. My guns are pop guns now. It's like... Yeah, forget about that. You know, it's kind of like that thing. You know, it's like now my chest is falling into my drawers type of thing. You
know,
I turned 60 in January, so it's like, you know, once you get to that point, there's no denying you're in the fourth quarter. You can't get around it anymore. Definitely the last turn around the corner. So I'm going to make the best of it, though.
Okay, listen, I watched a couple of trailers on a little thing called The Price of Fame. And who's behind this, man? Is this your boy that's doing this?
Well, here's the way this whole thing started, Drew. There was a guy who actually came. He was doing a favor for a friend. I was in New York, and there's these things that are called a shoot interview. In other words, these guys come and they do an interview with you, and they call it a shoot interview because in wrestling, you know, like a shoot is it's real, you know. And if we're working, then it's to entertain the crowd. But a shoot's like the real fight, the real match, and so the real interview. In other words, it's not a wrestling interview; it's a real deal, talking about real life. And so, as this guy interviewed me, and he was doing this as a favor to a friend, he starts asking me questions about my life, and, you know, well, he started asking me about my life and everything, and I'm going to start talking about God and what he's done in my life. What I didn't know is that this guy was the son of a pastor, and at the time was backslidden, and, you know, the way he told me later was, he said they just got all over him and just kind of turned his life around. And originally he was going to do a documentary, same name, Price of Fame, but he was going to, like, illustrate two guys. He was going to take me and then another guy. Like, Ted took the high road and the other guy took the low road. And then he changed his mind. He said, you know what, we need to tell your story. And the way my son got involved was, you know, just at one of these shoots, you know, he just gave him a, you know, it's like, you know, how can we make this like a docudrama? Anyway, too much, we don't have enough time to say how it all got that way. But now my son is very much involved, and it's kind of like, it's my story, but it's kind of like my son walking you through the story. And, you know, and the real hero of the story in terms of, other than Jesus Christ being Lord and Savior and everyone's ultimate hero, the hero of my personal story, I mean, I'm actually down near Baton Rouge. My wife and I are about to do a couples retreat here this weekend, and she's the hero. I mean, because if it hadn't been for her choice, to forgive me at a time when no woman in their right mind would have, and give me another chance,
yeah,
I'd probably still be having a conversation with you. I'd probably still be spreading the gospel. but I wouldn't be sitting here telling you I'm a very happily married man. I'm enjoying my children, and I'm enjoying my grandchildren, because I would have been gone.
Okay, here's the blurb that we put out, and I want your reaction to this. Ted DiBiase is a WWE Hall of Fame professional wrestler, best known for his role as the villainous Million Dollar Man of the World Wrestling Federation, now known as the WWE. His son, Ted DiBiase Jr., is in the midst of producing a documentary about his dad's infamously messy life and how he went from being a professional and personal scumbag to preacher.
I like it.
So are you okay with that? Because
yeah, I am. Because it's the truth.
So, okay, let's cut through this, man. Are you telling me that in the wrestling heyday of who you were, Mr. Million Dollar Man, Mr. Rockstar, everybody loves you, everybody worshiping you, that you screwed around with other women?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And were you I mean, other than being a sexually moral scumbag, you know, like how else were you a jerk?
I fell into the same thing that so many people, whether they're, you know, celebrities, you know, it's whether you're a rock star, movie star, professional athlete, you know, it's true. I mean, when you're in the limelight, you don't have to look for trouble. It'll come find you. It'll knock on your door, literally.
Yep.
And so traveling the way I was, I was drinking, I was alcohol, drugs, the whole nine yards. Never really any addiction to the drugs, the alcohol. I mean, I could have a couple of beers every night and go home and be home for a week, and there'd be a six pack of beer in my refrigerator, and I wouldn't touch it.
Right.
It just wasn't the real problem with me was with the women.
So did your wife know at the time and just chose to turn a blind eye?
My wife was no, she didn't know. As a matter of fact, when this broke, she was absolutely mortified.
How did it break?
She caught me. I mean, when I say caught me, it was like I had gotten to where I actually made a couple of phone calls from home, thinking there's so many calls on this, you know, no big deal.
And yeah,
wasn't, you know, she might have started suspecting.
So she heard one of the phone calls or something.
Something like that.
Yeah,
you know. I hung up real quick one night or something, but the bottom line is, you know, when she started looking into it and she found out, I mean, to the scope that she found out, and her tremendous faith in God, and that's just it. She'll tell people. She tells the people all the time. She goes, I could have done what I wanted to do, and I could have run to just people in the world, so to speak, that aren't Christians, and I could have heard what I wanted to hear, but I chose to go to my Christian friends, where I knew I needed to go, and was told what I needed to hear. And so, and she was very honest with me. I mean, because I mean, I came totally clean, and I really believed that this marriage was over, that I had blown the best thing that had ever happened to me because of my ego, because of my pride. And when she was willing to, and she said, you know what, I'm not going to promise you anything. I might leave next week. I might leave a month from now. She goes, I think from what I've heard and what I've seen that you really want to be a man of God. She goes, I'm just not sure you're man enough. I mean, she challenged me.
Hold on. Were you into the God stuff while you were horn-dogging around?
Well, yeah, I was the intellectual Christian. I was the guy who, you know, I knew it, and I it's kind of like God had been chasing me a long time. I had a very strong faith in God when I was very young.
Yeah.
And you know, and I abandoned that. That's part of my story, a story I tell all the time. And it's two different times I allowed the world and all that the world had to offer drag me back down the dirt road. But, you know, there's a difference between knowing Jesus Christ personally. I mean, it's like, it's not about religion. It's not about showing up and putting in your hour every Sunday. And you can do all the right things, too, Drew. You can show up. You can be the best tither in the church. You can give the most money. You can go on all the mission trips and go to hell when you die. Because it's not that we do any of it. It's the heart behind what we do. And in that moment in my life when I realized that I had been given so much, and I was more famous than I was ever going to be, making more money at the time than I ever thought I'd make, and had so much more than I ever thought I would have.
Yeah.
but I had been willing to put at risk the most valuable things in my life, the love and devotion of a committed wife, not to mention the future, the stability and the peace of mind of my children, you know, to be a road whore, so to speak.
Yeah. And, well, that's the tough thing, right? I mean, when I think about the fact that your wife finds out and then makes a decision to stay with you because she detects or discerns that you're genuinely repentant, I guess. In other words, you're not going to go down that road again. The first question I have for you, Ted, is did you go down that road again, or was it a clean break?
It was a clean break.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, though. And again, that's why I speak to so many men. It's like you have to separate yourself from. It's like when I went back on the road, and initially I gave my wife here's the phone numbers and hotels where I'm going to be and all that stuff. She tore it up. She goes, "Look, I'm not going to put you on a dog like a chain. If you wanted to do it again, you'd find a way."
She's a smart woman.
But know this: if you do, God will bring you down so fast that your head will spin.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, yeah, and the hair on the back of my head stood up. And so, you know, there were a couple of instances, you know, where, you know, I succumbed to the booze. And, you know, I wasn't a pot smoker or a pill popper. You know, I like that white powder, not sugar.
Here we call it booger sugar.
Yeah, and so I found myself, you know, kind of crying out to God, going, you know what, I don't want to do this. This is not who I am anymore.
Right.
And, basically, God led me right to the scripture where it said, flee temptation, run. If your arm causes you sin, cut it off. Gouge out your eye. Get out, run. And I left the WWF, now the WWE, after SummerSlam in 1993, not because I was disillusioned with the company or anything else, but because I had to separate myself from an environment. My life had changed. My heart had changed. But the environment I was in had not changed at all. And so, you know, if you're a recovering alcoholic, you know, and you don't want to drink anymore, you better stay out of the bar.
Yeah.
And so I had to separate myself from that environment.
Ted, I got to jump in and ask you about the other shame angle to this is not just, you know, treating your wife like garbage, but when your kids find out you've been a skank,
yeah,
like, that's got to gut you, man.
You know, yeah. Well, here's it. My children were all young.
Right.
And again, to my wife's credit, my wife looked at me and she goes, in spite of what you've done to me, you are a wonderful father, and your children hold you on a pedestal. And she goes, I don't want to destroy that. And you and I both know that so many times in situations like this, the kids end up being used as pawns,
yeah,
in a war, and it's the worst thing you could do. My wife was extremely wise, and she said, they don't know about this until they're old enough to understand it. And
so did you sit them down when they were old enough?
You know what? I never really had to do that because I started going out.
Oh, your testimony and stuff.
Sharing my testimony.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I just waited, and I figured, you know what? When they want to know, they'll come ask me.
And did they?
And they did. And we had that conversation. And
it
was, I'll be honest with you, though, my son, Ted, in particular, he said, no, he said, Dad, he says, I want you to understand something. He says, not once have I ever held any animosity. He said, you know what? Because he's been in the business now.
Yeah.
Got out. He was in 5 years, and he said, I don't want any more of this. He said, no matter how big I could have been, he said, the amount of time that this is going to cost me at any price, you know, is not worth what I'm going to pay in terms of being away from my family. It's just not worth it, which is what I tried to tell him. You know, it's great for a single guy, but if you're a married man, it's just not the business.
No. Well,
he just said, he says, I know who you are today. And he says, and that's what I'm proud of. He says, you know, Hall of Famer and all that stuff, okay. He says, but who you are in Christ is what is the greatest.
Okay, so Ted Jr. now is in this documentary. By the way, this is so cool. Anyway, he goes on this journey to learn, you know, your story of faith, your story of redemption in the world of professional wrestling. Here's a little quote. "We've invested quite a lot of money in this project together. As the film draws closer to post-production, we're now looking to secure even more exclusive interviews, archival footage, music licenses, sound engineering, colorists, website designers, editors, and production people." Man, that sucks. You got to have all that stuff to make this thing roll, and all that stuff costs some serious coin. So everything up until now has been fully done by ourselves, but this part is getting very expensive very fast. We knew it was time to reach out to the fans to secure this extra help to finish this exciting film. This has always been a film by the fans, for the fans, and now we need the fans to step up and make this a reality. We've come up with some incredible pledge packages that we know you will love. Ted DiBiase has traveled all over the world giving his testimony, has changed thousands of lives. This film spotlights every aspect from Ted's remarkable life and unforgettable wrestling career, while also divulging the true depth of his story. We can't wait to share this story. So, you started a Kickstarter campaign. What's the goal?
Well, the goal is to raise $30,000 and, help pay for this, you know.
Yeah.
The guy that started this thing out originally, the guy's name is Pete Ferrero, and he's just a great guy. And it's like this thing started, it really started almost like 2 years ago where it was going to be one thing, and then it just started, you know, more and more. He said, no, I said, this is what it needs to be. And then when my son came along and met Pete and started talking, and he said, you know, we can't tell this story without my mom. She's the real hero.
Yeah.
And I said, you're absolutely right. So it's just been, in my opinion, I call it a God thing, just the way the whole thing is started to come together. But we're just at that place now.
So what are some of these packages, man? So in other words, if I think, oh, this is a cool story and people need to see this story, people need to really get it, I think this could be very inspirational, change some people's lives, help some marriages, really inspire people, and I want to get behind this. So they go, I'm going to pony up a little bit of cash. What are some incentives that you guys have on there?
Well, I mean, some of the incentives are, you know, obviously anywhere from autographed pictures to actually conversations with us by phone, interviews by phone, meeting, and actually you'd have to ask my son because he's the guy, you know, he's the whiz, you know, he said, you know, he told me this, Drew, you'll like this, you'll really like this. He said, Dad, you know what, I love you. He said, and nobody's worked harder than you have. He says, but I want to help you work smarter, not harder.
You're a bit of a meathead, aren't you, hey?
You know it.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, folks, go to our website, drewmarshall.ca, and click on Next Show, and you'll see the entire lineup there and a link to The Price of Fame. Or just go to Kickstarter.com and type in The Price of Fame, and you'll see all those kind of cool incentive things based on how much you may want to donate to help and, you know, kind of kick into this Kickstarter project. And this is a cool little deal. I like this. Yeah. I'm glad this is happening.
Though. Just imagine that, though, Drew, the $1 million man asking for money.
I know, but that's the kind of upside down kingdom Jesus was all about, right? It's all
absolutely.
It's
brother.
All backwards, right? So upside down leadership. All right, listen. Just before we say goodbye, I want you to listen to this clip here. This is this happened just a few nights ago. Have a listen to this, and we'll get your comments right after. Okay,
okay?
Have a listen.
Okay.
Speak to me, warrior.
This is the Ultimate Warrior inside the ring, stadium, chanting his name. He's back after I don't know how many years away.
As I thought about what I was going to say this evening, it's been hard for me to find the words.
Now he's pulling out a warrior mask, make him look like he used to with the face paint on. He's going to strap this over his face, and he's going to take on the persona.
There you go. There's the warrior.
Here he comes.
Well, then, you shut up, Boyer, and let me do the talking.
Apparently he's got a bit of asthma.
No WWE talent becomes a legend on their own. Every man's heart one day beats its final beat. His lungs breathe their final breath. And if what that man did in his life makes the blood pulse through the body of others and makes them bleed deeper in something than larger than life, then his essence, his spirit, will be immortalized by the storytellers, by the loyalty, by the memory of those who honor him and make the running the man did live forever. You are the legend makers of Ultimate Warrior. In the back, I see many potential legends, some of them with warrior spirits, and you will do the same for them. You will decide if they lived with a passion and intensity, so much so that you will tell your stories and you will make them legends as well. I am Ultimate Warrior. You are the Ultimate Warrior fans. And the spirit of Ultimate Warrior will run forever.
All right, there you go. There's a little clip from just a few days ago. Ted, have you ever had any sort of conversations with the Ultimate Warrior?
Well, you know, most wrestling fans who ever saw there was a DVD that the company put out some time ago, Self-Destruction, the Ultimate Warrior, at another time. And, you know, I was one of the people interviewed on that. And so it's no secret that, you know, there was a lot of things that he and I didn't see eye to eye on or about. But the thing that, that impressed me, you know, over that last weekend, his, you know, when he was there for the Hall of Fame, you know, he's talking to his wife and his children, and it's almost like I felt like that he'd come to a place where he had found some peace in his life, you know. And of course, and the one thing I really regret, Drew, because you know you get those feelings, and even, you know, even as he had that speech for the Hall of Fame, you know, there were a couple of jabs, you know, to different people, and I was on the receiving end of one of those. But as I was leaving the building, I thought, you know what, what did Jesus say? He said, he is without sin, cast the first stone. I said, we just need to put this thing to rest. And then I thought, well, you know, it's his night, it's a special night, and, you know, I might not be the first person that he wants to see. There'll be another time I can do this. Hmm. And there wasn't. And so I regret that. And I really am happy that the WWE put him in the Hall of Fame, because I was opponent for that. I was against that for some time. Huh. And there's no need to go into the reasons why. At this point, the guy is no longer with us. And I put out on my Facebook page and even tweeted, rest in peace, and that my heart went out to his wife and his kids. And,
yeah.
And it truly does. It's just very sad. It's almost like, you know, like a, you know, like he just gets this breath of fresh air and a rebirth. And and there was several other guys who at one time or another have had negative things to say about Warrior, who had done the same thing and had the opportunity to have the conversation. And I mean, obviously, you know, he and Vince, my gosh, Vince fired him a couple of times.
Yeah, they went toe-to-toe, head-to-head. And
yeah, and so and again, and I'm glad you asked the question, because he who is without sin, cast the first stone. You know, if you're going to preach it, you better live it. So,
yeah.
You know, you can't hang on to anger and bitterness. And I just wish that I had that, you know, when I got that unction, I thought, well, you know, I need to go back here and let's get this yeah. away. And everybody else, or several people had, a lot of people had. There's a lot of people that hadn't, but you know, it was there, and you know, like I could have done it, and I just thought, well, I don't want to rain on his parade. I don't know how good or bad he would see me approaching him.
Yeah.
You know, and so I said, I'll wait for a better time.
Yeah, I think that's class as well, man. And I know there's regrets there, but it was classy. And look, I just want to bring our listeners, I just realized you and I are talking insider stuff here. Some of our listeners may not realize that on the heels of WWE's biggest celebration of the year, the wrestling promotion is mourning the unexpected death of one of its biggest superstars from the past, the Ultimate Warrior, 54-year-old Jim Helwig. Legally changed his name to Warrior 93, was with his family in Arizona when he suddenly collapsed on Tuesday, just 3 days after his WWE Hall of Fame induction into the... And also on the eve of WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans. So, you know, what a just untimely and spooky kind of... You know, I mean, in his speech, he says, every man's heart one day beats its final beat. His lungs gosh. Breathe oh. their final breath.
It's just eerie. It really is. You know, that speech was given at Monday Night Raw the night after WrestleMania. And, you know, so he left, New Orleans on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
And flew home to Phoenix. And I heard another report that somebody that witnessed it said that as he went down, he clutched his chest. So I'm guessing that he had a massive heart attack.
Yeah. It sounds like that's exactly what happened. So
the other eerie thing for me is that, you know, I was 15 years old when my dad, at the age of 45, had a heart attack,
yeah.
you know, in the ring and passed away. So even, you know, going, oh my gosh, those poor little girls.
Yeah.
You know, they're never going to get to see their dad. They're never going to get to grow up with him. And so, I've had a lot of big Warrior fans. You know, I've had some really pretty nasty tweets myself, but I understand.
Sure.
But again, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because I want that opportunity to say, look, you know, I was more than willing to bury the hatchet. I just wish I'd have had the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, class act you are, man. Folks, Ted DiBiase, wrestling's million-dollar man. Go to Kickstarter.com, look for The Price of Fame, and if you want to get behind this project, go for it. Do it. There's a lot of cool incentives there, and this will be a cool, cool, inspirational flick for sure. So, Ted, as always, man, always appreciate talking to you. I can't wait for you to get that ugly mug of yours back into Ontario.
Yeah, I can't wait either. I mean, I tell you what, when I got hooked up with the Promise Keepers guys, my gosh, you know, for about 6 years there, I mean, I was probably spending more time in Canada than most Canadians. I mean, I've seen more of the country than most of the people from coast to coast, but I love Canada. You know, my first stop is Tim's. Every time.
Oh, buddy, you got to get past that.
Just for the coffee.
Get past that. Ted DiBiase, wrestling's million-dollar man. Buddy, great to chat with you, dude.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care. Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a four-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement four times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA, except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now look, because there are limited spots available for our 1250 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250. Now sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?